Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, home of the Republican National Convention. Day four, things will wrap up tonight. Former President Trump expected to address the crowd tonight. Lots of excitement about that. Just a reminder, we do have special coverage every night, 7 to 8 p.m., hosted by Terry Bell, our news director at Civic Media. Of course, the wonderful Todd Alba, broadcasting from Wisconsin's Media Row. He follows us from noon to 2 p.m., Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, and of course, the Devils from 4 to 6 p.m. Talking about the RNC, we're going to switch things up a little bit in the last half hour of the show. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here, as he usually is, every other Thursday, to talk all things sports balls. And Brittany Merlot will have weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Find out what we're going to be facing as we head into the weekend. Dan Schaefer, though, you have been spending a lot of time inside the perimeter. How much of a pain has it been to get in there?
It's been okay. I mean, certain entrances are busier than others. It hasn't been so bad. The people have been super helpful. And I think, you know, just to whatever extent that there are challenges with the convention around the city, to whatever extent, like, we obviously are here disagreeing with a lot of the things that they are saying on stage, I think the people here in Milwaukee are doing a terrific job of putting this convention on and showcasing the city to the world on this stage.
Here. How much are the delegates actually getting to see the city, though? Because off the air we were talking about, the buses come after things wrap up at Fiserv, and they board their buses and they go back to their hotels.
Yeah, I think, you know, that has been one of the big stories locally. And I think that to whatever extent it was kind of simmering around in the first couple days of the festival, it became kind of undeniable by a point yesterday. So, reportedly in his morning press conference yesterday, Mayor Cavalier Johnson was encouraging people to go check out some of the local businesses. I even saw a story from Urban Milwaukee interviewing one of the leaders from the local host committee saying, yeah, we're not seeing the act, you know, not as much as we'd like in some of these places. The fact that they're admitting as such on the record, I think, is pretty remarkable. But it has certainly matched up to what my experience has been in and around the grounds. And I spent, you know, much of the day yesterday, just kind of checking out what was going on outside of the convention grounds, talking to some bar owners, restaurant owners, employees, whatever. I think there was such a big expectation for what this convention would do for the city, and the reality is it's just not coming through in so many ways. And, you know, I reported on this at the Recombobulation Area weeks before the convention, talking about, you know, places like the Riverside Theater, Pabst Theater, that were going to be sitting empty, and a number of the concerns from restaurateurs who were, you know, wanting to have extra hours or make accommodations and make this work and want to showcase the city and might not even be opposed to the politics of the RNC or anything like that. But just haven't had the opportunity to do so. One of the restaurants that I reported on in that story, called Loopy and Iris, it's like a 200-plus seat celebrated downtown restaurant, you know, not that far of a walk to get there from Fiserv Forum. They actually closed yesterday.
Wow.
Because they had such little activity on Monday and Tuesday. I think they gave their employees the day off on Wednesday. They were not closed for a private event, that's for sure. And so I think that's kind of what we've been seeing. And I think it's a couple things, right? It's not only is the convention itself very much like this kind of, you know, Disney World, you know, insular,
self-contained
type of atmosphere. You're just not seeing that many people venture outside of it. And then, yes, at the end of the night, when these speeches conclude, people might go out into the Deer District, have a drink there at one of the places right in there. But then we'll go to there's this long, long line of buses and these packed tents that people who depart the grounds get into these tents to wait for their bus and get their bus to take them back to their hotel, whether it's, like you mentioned, the Texas delegation is in Madison. I know there are a few other delegations in Lake Geneva. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so they're not going out and experiencing Milwaukee and seeing the city and enjoying the nightlife. The bars are open till 4 this week in Milwaukee. I don't know if anybody's out there doing that. I heard a couple of the Brady Street bars just didn't have enough people, so they just shut down at 2. And so it was, a lot of the promises that we've seen for the economic impact, what this is going to mean for the city, you know, haven't really come to fruition. And I think that there are many factors with this, but I think we also can't ignore the evidence of our eyes and ears than walking around and seeing what's going on, that this convention is not bringing stuff all over town. You know, looking ahead to this, I was expecting, you know, and I had done the reporting saying that this might not bring that many people to downtown businesses, but I was still expecting a lot of presence for the Republican convention in the city. I was kind of likening it to, you know, one of the kind of round numbered Harley anniversaries, right? Where like every, when it's like the 110th Harley anniversary, every bar you go to has like 20 Harleys in front of it,
right?
At the, you know, over the weekend or whatever it might be. So I expected it to just kind of be like that. You go up to Brady Street and people in red hats smoking cigarettes outside Joe Cats or whatever it might be, right? And I drove around a little bit last night after the convention. I drove to the Third Ward and Brady Street and the East Side. And if you hadn't known that a massive political convention was happening, you know, in right in the heart of your downtown, you wouldn't have known it, because it just felt like a normal Wednesday night in Milwaukee, maybe even less active, because I think a lot of people got out of town to avoid this week. Milwaukee, obviously a very blue city, not super thrilled with having the Republican convention here in a lot of ways. And some people are just staying home, staying out of the fray. We'll get back out to our favorite spots next week, but we're not going to fight this mess this week.
Well, to speak from a business owner's point of view as well, we had known that this was not going to be that as big as we expected to be, because we got no calls from any groups, GOP, liberal, anybody looking to rent the club for anything going on. And as we got closer and people were saying, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. And to put it into perspective, now, even though they're not here the weekend, we still had our open mic last night. We still were open to opportunities and whatever. For Harley Fest, we're closed next weekend because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to compete with that.
Sure.
But the RNC were like, come on, bring it. Bring your money. Bring your people. Come on, hang out. Do your thing. And nothing. Not a call. Not an email. Nothing.
And when you mentioned, Dan, that a lot of people probably got out of town or just are avoiding downtown because of all the traffic hassles, these poor businesses are, it's like a double whammy then. Mm-hmm. So even your regular customers are staying away because they don't want to have to deal with the aggravation. And yet you haven't seen this big influx of new customers. We went out for lunch a couple of days ago, but it's a block away.
Yeah.
And right on the edge of the perimeter, it was empty.
It was empty.
It was empty.
Water Street empty at 12:30.
Yeah.
Not even like Milwaukee folks having lunch. It was the five of us, and I think there were maybe five other people in this big restaurant.
Right.
And so I hope it's not a money loser for these places.
That's the concern, too, because I think, you know, a lot of these places wanted to make some additional accommodations, having extra hours, hiring extra staff.
Right.
You know, things like that to try to prepare for this massive influx. You know, I think a lot of people were hoping it would be like when the Bucks were in the finals three years ago. And downtown was just swarmed with all of this energy and just absolutely rocking. It just hasn't been the case. You know, I look for this in a story at the recombobulation area, hopefully later today. But I got a chance to talk with Dan Jacobs, the chef from who was one of the finalists from Top Chef, the owner of Dan Dan. One of the things that he told me was that they, on Monday night, they made some accommodations at Dan Dan to have like a 9 to midnight after hour, happy hour type of thing to invite people in there. Dan, obviously getting a lot of press this year with the acknowledgement on Top Chef and whatnot. And he said there was nobody, said there was nothing going on. And when I asked him, I was like, what do you mean nothing going on? He's like, no people, zero people came for their after hours, happy hour. Yeah. Zero people. Yeah.
Well, we got a couple of minutes left. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Multiple award winners.
Yes.
Really do excellent work over there, Dan. Who are some of the, what's the speaker lineup? What are we looking at for today?
Yeah, well, the former president is going to be headlining, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on that one. We got the roster of speakers for the rest of the evening. Hulk Hogan is going to be introducing the former president.
He's so erudite.
That
should just be a scintillating speech.
Tucker Carlson is on the roster
evening. You can talk up Viktor Orban while he's up there.
That's right. You can talk about how great things are in Russia.
And Hungary, the grocery stores in Russia are fantastic.
Yeah, these sparkling subway stations in Putin's Russia under a literal dictatorship.
Yeah.
And you know, another name on the roster that I recognized as, you know, from Wisconsin, Diane Hendricks, who's one of the biggest political funders in the state. She is going to be speaking on there.
And
so
they listed her as what? An average American?
You listed her as an everyday American.
Everyday American, Diane Hendricks.
Yeah, on the list. You know, I think, what is she, one of the wealthiest women in the world?
I believe so, yes.
More or less. Well, certainly one of the wealthiest in Wisconsin, that's for sure.
So, everyday Americans.
One of the biggest donors.
Yeah.
She, you know, all those ads you saw, those super racist ads against Mandela Barnes from a couple of years ago, were ones that she was funding. So,
well, and I go back to, how big of a slap in the face is this to Scott Walker that he doesn't even get a, hi, remember me? I mean, they let Reince Priebus, he was on Monday, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And he worked in the Trump administration for 6 whole months before he got fired.
Yeah, actually,
Scooter doesn't even get up there.
He walked right by me on the convention floor last night as I was talking to people on there. Just that's the type of surreal, you know, moments that you can have. Charlie Kirk was talking to somebody sitting next to me, and then Scott Walker walked right by us on the way out of the convention floor. So these are just like sentences that I'm saying, and now that I'm saying them, they sound so strange. But this has been my life for the past week.
Well, I will be very curious to see how Tucker Carlson addresses the crowd tonight, because, again, he's a big autocrat fan, and it will be interesting.
People are going to be getting the vapors, because people wanted to be Trump Carlson for a while. They wanted him to be VP.
Well, he's just about as qualified as J.D. Vance. That would work. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, you will be with us tomorrow.
I will.
At your regular time at 10:33. Thank you so very much.
We will once again recombobulate.
We will recombobulate.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Stay close. We're celebrating burgers and custard when we come back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. Day 4, final day of the Republican National Convention. Once we're back on camera here, you can see Fiserv Forum behind our shoulders. That is where most of the action is happening. Just a reminder, Todd Alba, he is broadcasting from Media Row. His show comes on at noon, from noon to 2 p.m., followed by Maggie Dawn, and then the Devils from 4 to 6 p.m. We have special coverage every night. Tonight, from 7 to 8 p.m., Civic Media's news director, Terry Bell, will be hosting that from 7 to 8 p.m., along with Todd Alba, I believe. He's working hard.
Excellent.
He's been working
hard.
Everyone's
working hard, but none harder than Todd Alba, who's just, he's the Civic Media, he's everywhere all the time. Where are you today? He's somewhere else in the state. I never know where he's at, but he's always on the job.
He is. He's always working. A couple of texts we wanted to share just very quickly. Donna and DeForest, we were talking about just the lack of activity there's been at Milwaukee downtown businesses. I really hope that they don't end up losing money on this, because it's the nightlife just isn't happening. Donna in DeForest says, my sister works near the Capitol in downtown Madison. She told me delegates were out partying in their MAGA cowboy hats. The GOP loves to bash Madison until they want that nightlife. I wonder if the gay bars in Madison saw the same cowboy hits, which brings us to a comment from Grindr?
Yeah, so...
Which is a hookup app.
It's a hookup app for gay men, and it's the worst-kept secret in America in the queer population that when the RNC comes to your town, things get a-grindin'. And the CEO of Grindr referred to the RNC as...
It's their Super Bowl.
Their Super Bowl, yes. He referred to it as their Super Bowl because... I mean, just look it up. I'm. It's like I said, worst kept secret, and but that's a very yes, Donna. I guarantee you, those hats were in some bars.
Having a good time.
And you know what?
Having a good time.
A great time. Be free, be you. But just let other people be free. Be them as well.
Now there's that. All right, switching tactics just a little bit. We do want to give a shout out to Culver's. Opened its first restaurant in Sauk City, Wisconsin on July 18th, 1984.
My goodness. I didn't know they were around this long.
Celebrating 40 years.
My goodness. And you have right there how many locations they have?
Culver's now has 970 restaurants in 26 states.
Yeah.
With the company headquarters still in Prairie du Sac. When Todd and I were on the road a couple of weeks ago, we actually drove past that famous Culver's.
Is it like when you go to Seattle, there's Starbucks number one in the...
I believe there is something on the sign that says the original.
Yeah. I love Culver's. I really do. I treat Culver's as my fancy fast food. I don't eat it all the time. In fact, I rarely eat it because when I do, it's a treat, especially when you get a custard. But this is the reach of Culver's. I knew Culver's was around a lot of places, and I knew Culver's was in Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana. We were driving from Atlanta to Macon, Georgia in January of this year, and all of a sudden I see a billboard saying coming soon to Georgia, Culver's. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Oh, wow.
And this is very weird to say too, because it's a family-owned company from Wisconsin, I never want them to sell out to a big corporation.
Yeah.
I want them to be all over the country but still run as a Wisconsin operation, because I just think that's so cool that something from Wisconsin is in Georgia. And you can get cheese curds. You can get real Wisconsin cheese curds in Georgia. That's a gift. You're welcome, Georgia.
Craig Culver, co-founder, says that some people, I love my hometown. Some people want to get away from where they grew up. That was never the case with me. I'm very proud to be from here, and I'm very proud to grow the business here that we have. And what I think is really impressive about Craig Culver is that he travels, and now obviously he's traveling around to 26 states, mm-hmm. so he can work a shift. He does that at every single Culver's restaurant.
And that's the thing, too, is when you look at Craig Culver's, he just looks like a regular dude. So if you go to a Culver's in Macon, Georgia, or, you know, Antioch, Illinois, and you see an older gentleman with a shock of white hair, you're not going to think, is he the owner? You're like, oh,
that's a guy.
That's Craig. He probably retired. He's working part-time here at the Culver's because he loves the employee discount.
Yep. To celebrate their anniversary, Culver's is offering a portion of today's sales. They will be donated to a local organization chosen by each restaurant. So that's nice. So
fantastic.
If you go have a butter burger mm-hmm. with bacon.
Or a butter burger with bacon and some fries. Or a butter burger with bacon and fries and a custard. So on and so forth. You get the idea.
The best onion rings.
Oh, I'm getting
the best onion rings on the planet.
And when you get the onion rings and then there's a fry that falls in there. Or a curd. Are you kidding me? Heaven on earth, Jane.
The mixing of the curds.
Oh, I am so hungry. This segment of the show is brought to you, not officially, by Culver's and my rumbling stomach.
Well done, Culver's. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I know Todd Alba has met Craig Culver numerous times, and he said the same thing, Greg, just about. He's still a very down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he probably has a private plane because he's flying up to 26 different states so he can serve a malt. But you got to love that.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he doesn't do that? Instead, he just has a really... nice RV bought by him and not some billionaire. But the point is, bought by him, and he just travels in his RV called the Curd Wagon, and he just goes to various Culver's and he serves, and he like throws like a Scoopy coupon in there. You're like, that's for you. I like the cut of your jib. Enjoy. And they're like, who's that magical man?
Linda in Middleton listening on WMDX. We are heading there now, Sauk City. I've always loved Culver's. That's great, Linda. Have some onion rings for me.
Cheers a custard to Craig and the family.
We have news coming up.
Yes, we do.
Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company. After the news, we are going to talk about all things sports balls.
We're talking sports today. I cannot wait. I know you're not. I don't know if you're excited about the Wimbledon finals, the men's finals.
You're a big tennis fan.
I love the tennis, and there's a young man. I mean, he's already a legend. He's not even 22 years old, and it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to talking about it and the rest of the slam season. So. Well, sports coming up soon.
Yeah, so Brewers, everybody's off because it's All-Star break.
All-Star break is happening. That was a big old, you know, whatever it is. I don't really care about the All-Star game at all. And we got Packers to talk about, training camp coming up. And I know there's draft information to be discussing as well. So Paul is bringing all the sports updates coming up soon.
And then we'll get to a little weather update, Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. That is coming up at 11:50. Stay with us. News is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
We lost something down the line that I wish we both could find. Thought I'd like to do the things that we used to do. And it was burgers and fries and cherry pies. It was simple and good back then. Walking in the sand. Thinking that it could end, digging our love with the moon above at the drive-in picture show. It was burgers and fries and cherry pies in a world we used to know.
Burgers and fries and cherry pies.
Oh, it was so simple back then.
Morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, day four, the final day of the Republican National Convention. Don't forget, we have special coverage from 7 to 8 p.m. hosted by Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Todd Alba doing his show from noon to 2 p.m. from Media Row, Wisconsin's Media Row. And then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, Devils from 4 to 6 p.m. Calvin's back in Waukesha, running the board. If you want to call, you can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. If you can leave a comment on the live stream, too, if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad you could join us. Maybe we can give him a little more volume. Paul, you're coming in just a little bit quiet there. Where should we start?
Well, let's start with the All-Star. We just finished up All-Star week. It's finishing up now. We had the game. We had the home run derby. I mean, it's fun, but it's definitely not for me as a baseball fan. Anything I really care them. I'm happy when Brewers get there, but then I'm like, I'm gonna take some days off from baseball.
Totally, same attitude here, honestly, and. I'm kind of just glad it's over. The Home Run Derby in particular, I feel like they would benefit from having sort of more entertaining announcers for it. Like Chris Berman, I think people got tired of. He's the guy who used to yell back, 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 back during the Home Run Derby. But now they call it like it's like an actual thing that matters, and it's just not. The Brewers didn't perform very well in the All-Star game. Nobody got any hits. Nobody really did anything. And I am just glad that nobody got hurt. That's always
a consideration. Absolutely. Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
Yes, especially with pitchers. We don't have pitchers, but yeah. So it's over. We get to start the second half, kick it off. And, you know, we still have a good lead over St. Louis, who's been on a bit of a hot streak lately. We get to get back in the swing of things. But I bet the Brewers start off well just because Glenn Contreras and Willie Adames, who have been immune from taking days off, were forced to take days off over the All-Star break. And I bet they kind of come out like gangbusters with actually getting some forced rest on them. So that's kind of that. The All-Star game is fun, but you know, it used to mean a lot more than it does now. And that, now it's really just for fun teams and to sell jerseys and all that good stuff.
Well, and it seems like that the home run derby seems to me like a great thing for kids.
Yeah.
That kids would be all about that.
I do think that's the case. I mean, it's not for grown-ups. I actually barely know anybody who watched the home run derby. It really is just to go and see guys hit a bunch of dingers, and you don't learn anything out of it. comes out of it. It's fine.
Maybe if they started like throwing the ball through like a flaming hoop, or you know they were standing on like I don't know fireworks or something, make it a little more like with the slam dunk contest. Their style and panache with it, you're like, these are slam dunks you're not going to see in a regular game. With home runs, it's like, I'm watching batting practice on national television right now.
Well, and I think Major League Baseball could take a whole bunch of tips from Minor League Baseball on how to make the home run derby more fun.
Agreed. Baseball, get the Savannah Bananas there.
That's the problem. Baseball does not like varying from tradition or anything like that. All of those are great ideas that they should definitely do. Like, I was talking with friends about this very topic, and like, if a Cub is hitting, they should let a Brewer outfielder go out there with like a net or a trampoline or something like that. there's no reason not to have fun with this because it doesn't matter. Home run derby records don't matter. They should absolutely do that, like the Beer Dog contest. But baseball moves like a glacier, so I wouldn't hold my breath about it.
No.
So they're that much of a purist that they can't do anything to, I don't know, goose the excitement factor because this is the way it's always been done.
Yeah. I mean, taking it even out of the All-Star context, baseball has had a very large problem with scoring going down for years and years and years. Every single year for the last basically 50 or so years has been the highest level of strikeouts in baseball. People are not making contact like they used to. And that can't go on forever. And this has been a known issue in baseball for a long time. There are ways to deal with it. You could lower the mound, which has happened before. You could move the pitching mound back. You could actually change the dimensions of the field. But they've let this become a problem. And it is one of the things that has been reducing the viewership of baseball over time. They are very slow to react. They could actually use, I think, some new blood in the commissioner's office and in front offices generally to deal with that. Because it is a problem, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, and I don't know how you connect with a ball that's going 100 miles an hour. I mean, some of these pitchers, it's like, remarkable how the strength of their arms.
Have you seen Paul Skeens throw a baseball? He averages like 102 miles an hour on his fastball, and he throws this slider that like moves like 12 inches from off the plate horizontally. I don't know how anybody ever gets a hit off of that guy.
I don't know if I could hit a ball going 30 miles an hour, let alone 100 miles. I would be like that kid who just like screams real loud and falls to the ground. I'd be like, "Don't hit me!" But we have, all stars aside and whatnot, we have draft talk happening. There's drafts going on, and the Brewers picked up some players.
They did. The baseball draft is unlike any other draft. Baseball should also fix this, by the way. But they had, I think, a pretty savvy draft. So the way the baseball draft works is that based on where you pick, you have a certain amount of bonus money allotted to your team as a whole. So if you reach for a guy who maybe thought he was going to go a little bit lower, you can pay him a lower bonus and save money later. And you're probably thinking, why would I want to do that? And the reason to do that is, I think, the best way to is on the Brewers' second round pick, Bryce McCash. I don't know how to pronounce anybody's name. And their competitive balance pick after that, Chris Lavance. Both of those players were very highly regarded in the draft, but both had the option to go to college. One to Wake Forest, one to Virginia. I believe McCash was going to Virginia. And so they had some leverage. So they actually fell in the draft because if they didn't get paid what they wanted to, they could go to college. And the team wouldn't get them. They'd go back in the draft after they finished playing for their colleges. So the Brewers actually drafted their first-round pick, Braylon Payne, an outfielder, a very athletic outfielder, much higher than he was expected to go. their plan there is to save money so that they can throw extra money at their second, third round picks who might go to college. I think they actually did a pretty nice job. Mikaj and Lavonis are regarded as very good prospects. Everybody here is not going to play in the majors for like 6 years. So we'll revisit this in the future. But they got good talent, I would say, with good upside across the board for their first four rounds of draft selections. The baseball draft goes like 20 rounds. It's ridiculous. But they did a nice job. I think people kind of looked askance at them when they took Payne and Blake Burke, their second competitive balance pick, because they were overdrafted. But they made up for it later. And in total, they ended up with a really nice, really deep draft. Payne is a great athlete. He's the fastest player in the draft. Blake Burke is probably the best hitter in the draft. His problem is he's a first baseman from Tennessee. His problem is he can't play any positions. He struggles to play first base. That's always a problem for him. But
I can't either. Can I be in a bit? I am terrible at first, second, third base, shortstop, outfield. I can't pitch and I can't catch.
Put him in.
I am ready to play, coach. Put me in.
Anyway, outside of those two, with the exception of Marco Dingus, they took all pitchers. So the Brewers, bread and butter, is developing pitchers. They took a ton of them and just a couple of position players. I think they did a nice job. It's a smart draft, if nothing else. You know, you never know what's going to work out in baseball for years and years. But the Brewers' approach is very good.
He joins us every other Thursday at this time. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here talking all things sports. Speaking of drafts, what is going on with Jordan Love? Locking him up.
I can only bring you unconfirmed rumors, but many people who know things about the Packers have started leaking out little tidbits that an extension is imminent for Jordan Love. And they've definitely been having negotiations with Jordan Love. I think they would like to get it done, certainly before camp starts and definitely before the season starts. But it sounds like that may be in the bag. And training camp starts on Monday. I would be shocked if we don't have an announcement about a Love extension shortly. So he's expected to make between $50 and $60 million a year. Quarterbacks are very expensive now. With contracts, when this happens, it's all about guaranteed money and how it's allocated across the years. But I think that that will be coming sooner rather than later. That Love extension is probably imminent.
I think that's great. I like Jordan Love. I would like to see us lock him up for longer and keep that going. I really would.
I mean, the vibe and the energy that I got from, and you know this, I'm not a huge football fan, but there is no getting around the fact that last year's Packers team was wildly underestimated, and they did way better than expected with the age and the newness of all the players, and there was just this great energy, and Jordan Love is at the helm of it. And I feel like the same thing can be said about the Brewers coming into the season. People are like, Brewers aren't going to be squat. And they're just great. They're having fun. And I want to see, you know, I'm not going to give disrespect to Aaron Rodgers. He did what he did. But like with Pat Murphy, with Jordan Love, it seems like there's fun happening. And with Aaron Rodgers, it was always this, like, it's Aaron Rodgers and the seriousness and the undeniable blue-grain denim of truth of Aaron Rodgers. And now it's like, we're having a good time, and let's do this, and let's keep this going.
Yeah. The one thing about Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers, in a vacuum, in, like, a football nirvana, which is a thing that does not exist, Aaron Rodgers is maybe a little bit better. It's possible. But Aaron Rodgers didn't play in the system that Matt LaFleur drew up for him. And so it doesn't really matter. Jordan Love is in the LaFleur system. Last year, he executed it almost perfectly, and his tools are as good as Rodgers is. They have the same caliber arm. They are almost exactly as fast as each other, at least they coming out of college, as a young man, a young Aaron Rodgers. If you are basically Aaron Rodgers and you're running the system as it's supposed to be run, that's going to work better. And you're right. Everybody looks like they're having fun. He's definitely a better locker room presence, because how could you be a worse locker room presence? And I'm glad they're locking him up too. And it's just a great thing that we've had like three high caliber quarterbacks in a row. No other teams are so blessed.
Well, and the other thing I really like about Jordan Love is that he'll actually show up at training camp.
He doesn't have any 9/11. He doesn't even 9/11 conspiracy theories that he needs to share with the press.
I mean, I know this is my sticking point, one of my sticking points about Aaron Rodgers, but I always thought that was immensely disrespectful to your teammates.
Yeah.
and just more evidence of his high regard for himself, shall we say.
He was playing with a lot of rookies, too. I mean, it's one thing if you're a bunch of veterans all coming back and you're all familiar with each other, but we had Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, and they would shuffle youth in and out of this team, and Aaron would not do the work to get on the same page with them. Even Christian Watson is rookie year. That could have gone a lot better.
We only have about a minute and a half left, Paul. Greg is very excited about tennis. Let's talk tennis.
I just want to say that Carlos Alcaraz is next level phenom. Four Grand Slams before he's 22. He beat Novak Djokovic in straight sets. That is like, okay, I mean, that is, oh, I want to just say, I don't know. If the Brewers beat the Dodgers, swept them in the World Series.
Yeah,
that's, I'm not saying the Brewers are as good as Carlos Alcaraz, but the idea that Carlos Alcaraz went into the Wimbledon final, beat Novak Djokovic in straight sets to win his fourth Grand Slam before he's 22 years old. Phenom. Amazing.
I tried to look up advanced tennis stats before this, and I couldn't find anything to prove it, but I think he hits down the line better than anybody I've ever seen. But hardest looping forehand I've ever seen. So.
And the happiest tennis player on earth, too.
That's,
I love
awesome.
Watching him play.
He joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company. Paul Noonan, thank you so very, very much. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Stay with us. Brittany Merlot, weather and wine coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. Calvin is back at the studio in Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, we have special coverage of the RNC every evening from 7 to 8 p.m., hosted by Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Todd Alba, following us from noon to 2 p.m., will be broadcasting from Wisconsin Broadcasters Row outside the RNC. And then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 and Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6 p.m. So stay with us all day long here on Civic Media. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a segment we call Weather and Wine, because her name is Brittany Merlot. Hello, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys? I see it's a little breezy out there.
It is a perfect day,
yes.
Brittany. It's so beautiful. We were talking earlier with Dan Schaefer. This is why we put up with winters in Wisconsin when we have days like today, because there's no dew point. I mean, it's perfect.
It's 71 and sunny. I feel like I'm living in San Diego right now.
Yeah, truly. It is so nice. So how long can we keep this perfect weather around?
I think we're going to keep it for today, tomorrow, and maybe we'll start to lose it in the northern half of the state by Saturday. And Sunday, we have chances for those scattered showers and storms. So that, of course, is going to be building in a little bit more mugginess as we push into next week and the humidity starts to filter in. But a lot of it, the really oppressive, bad heat, is going to hold off until the end of this month, actually.
I'm down.
How much hot heat are we talking about?
Oh, well, that's when I'm talking about those temperatures and those dew points firing up into those mid-70s where it feels really sticky, gross, and then the 80s to mid-80s returning. That's not going to be till the end of the month. But by next week, we will see some upper 70s, low 80s with some dew points in the 60s. So just slightly sticky out there, but nothing to write home about, that's for sure.
Well, and I think, hasn't it been like 115 degrees in Arizona?
Yeah, and Las Vegas is massively hot as well, like overbearingly.
I mean, it's dangerously hot.
Yes. Well, the good thing, though, for them is it's that dry heat. They don't have too much humidity added in there. So regardless, though, it's still dangerous heat, and they are feeling it. It's been about 2-3 weeks now, I feel, that they've been going on this extreme temperature wave, and it's only getting worse for them this weekend, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a brother who lives in Arizona, and he loves to text me pictures in January. I'm in the backyard and I'm sitting in my pool, and I text him back and I say, well, enjoy it now, because when it's 130 degrees every day in about 10 years, we'll see you back here in Wisconsin.
Yep. I like to send the videos, though, of the snow and how tough we are in Wisconsin.
It makes us hardy.
Yeah, we're a sturdy.
It makes us hardy.
We're a sturdy people.
Yes, we are.
At least it sounds, Brittany, like we talked to Pam Yonke yesterday, the fabulous farm babe,
yeah,
about what our farmers have been dealing with. You know, last year it was drought. As Pam said, we couldn't squeeze a drop of rain from a cloud. And now it's been the opposite problem. So at least looking ahead into next week, except for maybe Sunday when we could get some scattered showers, they'll have a chance to dry things out.
Well, I'm hoping they're taking advantage of it right now, because we have the less humidity, the windier conditions, and that should start to dry things out pretty rapidly. Because as we do go into early next week, those spotty showers and storms are going to be kind of popping up like Florida weather every single afternoon. I can't tell you exactly going to get it.
Ooh.
But yeah, we're going to be entering an active pattern as soon as Sunday through about Wednesday or so. I'm hoping we dry out for the weekend.
Looks like I'm mowing the lawn this weekend, finally.
You better get it done.
I'll get it done. I'll get it done.
Brittany Merlot is here for Weather and Wine. She joins us every Thursday at this time. What else are you watching, Brittany, as far as hurricanes? I mean, how are we doing so far this hurricane season?
You know, I haven't been watching those hurricanes ever since the last one that we had to deal with a little bit. I've taken my eyes off of that, and I'm now interested in the movie Twisters coming out tomorrow. So I'm going to be honest.
Well, for people who don't know your origin story, why don't you share that? Because you got into meteorology because you were afraid. It was yes, about confronting your own fears, correct?
It sure was. My family was in an EF5 tornado back when I was 5 years old. Seeing that devastation terrified me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I grew
Where
up
Where were you living
scared.
At that time?
I was in Plainfield, Illinois.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
So those of you who
heard
of that
one. You were
in
the movie Twister.
I was. And then, you know, go figure. To face my fear, I had to study it. I had to learn about it, because that's the only way that you can really feel comfortable with severe storms when you grow up scared. So as I did so, you know, I faced that fear. I became a storm chaser. And now I'm up to nearly 30 tornadoes that I've seen. I understand tornado genesis now. And yes, they're still terrifying, but I understand it more.
Are you going to be going into the movie with a meteorology mind? Like, you're like, that's not accurate. They would never do that. Or are you going to just go for the ride and just dive into Glenn Powell's blue eyes?
Oh, I am definitely going to be picking that movie apart with my meteorology brain. Calling out all the Hollywood moments.
You're our own Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, exactly.
The astrophysicist who goes to movies and then just rips them up and says that would never happen.
Ruins everyone's fun.
I can't help it.
I mean, I would think even in the first Twister, there must have been numerous inaccuracies that jumped out at you.
Oh, yes, indeed. So many. I don't want to call them out because that's the OG. That's the original. We'll leave them alone.
So cows typically are not coming past vehicles and then
twice
and surviving twice. And just that doesn't happen. Is that what you're saying?
I've never seen that happen. Not in my experience.
There's a part in that movie where they just show this like display of what's happening, and the display is in the color and the shape of the Pepsi logo. And I'm like, come on, are you even kidding me right now? Yeah, if you know there's a Pepsi logo in that movie. And then all the cans they're using are pretty much all Pepsi cans and Pepsi adjacent.
You're right.
It's ridiculous, but it's a wonderful film.
Well, enjoy the movie. Enjoy Twisters, too. We'll get a review from you next week. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine, thank you so much for joining us. Stay close. News is next, then followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Thank you so much, everyone for getting the show on the air. Thank you most of all for texting and calling and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.